And this hour, of course, we'll take your phone calls with Cheryl Jones. Questions, stories, you name it, we've got it when we come right back. And welcome back. George Norrie with you along with Cheryl Jones and your phone calls. Cheryl, I'm in St. Louis for the holidays. It hit 67 degrees today.
Oh, my goodness.
What is going on?
Well, I think it's definitely an unseasonal change here. It's probably a continuation of long-term cycles. Let's hope that that's all it is. But it's sometimes it's kind of nice to have a little bit of a refreshing change.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a little break because when it switches, it's going to go fast. You know what?
Yes. At least you're not driving on ice.
Well, that's true. But we did that a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
I'll be heading back to L.A. in a couple weeks after the first of the year for a little bit, and then we start our travels all over again with our live stage shows and everything else. Do you still dabble with the weather, being a former meteorologist?
I'm not doing it professionally, but I do dabble in it, yes. Of course, I always will have an interest in weather, just like I'll always have an interest in UFOs and the space stories.
Absolutely.
It's in your blood. You really can't get rid of it.
No, you can't. It's infectious, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Let's go to the phones. They're lining up for you. Let's start with Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana. Hello there, Mr. Cornelius White.
Yes. Hey, George, I wanted to thank you about something. Navy beat Army this year, so I want to salute the Navy. You were in the Navy, and I was in the Army. And Louisiana Tech beat the Hurricanes, so we won the Independence Bowl tonight.
Thank you. That's our sports update.
Yeah, the Navy, y'all are something else.
Yes, we are.
Cheryl, my question for you, do you cover any type of criminal conspiracies like JFK or anything like that? Now, take my answer off there. George, God bless you, and thank you so much.
Absolutely. What about the conspiracy end? Have you dabbled with that yet, Cheryl?
Not yet for Coast, but I'll do whatever you send me to.
Yep, absolutely. There's a lot of great stories out that way. So to answer that question, Cornelius, no story goes untouched and uncovered here on Coast to Coast. Wayne in Tacoma, Washington's with us. Hey, Wayne, go ahead.
Good evening, Sir George and Lady Cheryl. Yeah, I research UFO reports that have evidence, and the first one that of course, Roswell is the first one, or it's coded as the first one, but really the Murray Island incident, and this is a report from MUFON.com, mm-hmm. Murray Island incident 1947, actually took place almost 2 weeks before Roswell, and this incident in with the creation of Fate magazine, actually. It's quite interesting. Are you familiar with the Murray Island incident, Cheryl?
I've heard of it, but tell us more.
Okay. Well, in 1947, there was a man out on the bay just across from Tacoma, Washington area, and he was pulling in logs that are let go from the big log booms that go through the northwest here, and every once in a while one goes loose, and guys go out and get them, and they'd get a fee for returning them to the mill. Well, he was just coming back in from doing that, and he noticed there were six crafts over his ship.
Wow.
Just coming in the dock, and they were donut-shaped craft, and one of them was falling down several hundred feet below the other ones, and it was having trouble. It started emitting liquid metal out of it. They estimated it was a number of tons of liquid metal. Anyway, it created a big stir, and the people that were interested in this with, of course, the military, they got wind of it right away. They sent people on it right away. And the two men, the military intelligence officers that came up to the northwest that picked up some of this metal to take it back down, their plane crashed and they died in this tragic crash. And this is also the first incident where men in black came and intimidated the two witnesses that saw this.
Mm-hmm.
And they threatened these men that if they came forth and were keeping on telling the story that they would prosecute him for the death of these airmen.
Wow.
Came down and got the material. So that's part of the story. And the other part of the story is that the material and the incident was sent to this gentleman that started the magazine, Fate Magazine. I read it down earlier in the report, but I don't have his name right now. You know who he is. And they sent him a box of material, and he came out and interviewed these men along with the other gentleman in the Northwest that saw the UFOs over Mount Rainier. So that's kind of the beginning, I think. And I guess he was an editor of a magazine or a newspaper in Chicago at the time, the man that started.
It had been Raymond Palmer or Curtis Fuller?
It was Mr. Palmer, right.
Yes, a Chicago-based magazine editor.
Exactly, right.
Well, he did a great job with that. That's a great story, Wayne. That's worthy of another investigation, Cheryl.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's absolutely fabulous.
Let's go to Minneapolis, Minnesota. Mary's with us. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hey.
Hi, Cheryl. Can you hear me?
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. I have an angel story.
Okay.
Great. Great. We need some angel stories and miraculous recoveries or whatever you may have.
Well, this was back in 1982. I was out with my sister and a friend. And this is Minnesota, so the weather gets really, really cold.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This particular night, it was 70 below with the wind chill.
Oh.
And being young and foolish, we went out for the evening, and we weren't dressed sensibly. We were dressed fashionably with our high heels and our little leather jackets and everything. And
you can't really get a good grip on ice like that, can you?
So anyway, we closed down the place, and we were driving home. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and we were on a highway, and it was totally deserted. And I had neglected to fill up my gas tank, and the line froze, and my car stalled. And there was nobody out there. You could feel the cold seeping in immediately, and we're, like, panicking. We're, like, we're going to die out here. My sister says, well, I'm going to put the hood up. Maybe a police car will come by. So she got out of the car, and she didn't even get the hood up. She smiled and waved, and this white Cadillac pulled up right next to us right away. And the guy says, hop in. So we all got in. It was toasty warm in there, and he says, where can I take you? And we went to my friend's house. And we got out. We thanked him. And we were walking up her walk, and we thought, we said, well, how lucky was that? We turned around to wave to him, and there was nobody there.
Oh,
not
anywhere. And we're like, where did he go?
And I was going to say, pretty gutsy getting into his car. I'm not so sure you can do that nowadays.
Well, we really didn't have a choice. There was nobody else out there.
But where did the car go?
We had to have it towed.
No, his car.
Oh, we don't know. We turned around to wave to him again to, like, say thank you again.
Could have been angelic.
It had to be.
An angelic encounter.
Had he not shown up, Mary, what could have happened to you folks weather-wise?
Pretty sure we would have froze to death out there.
Oh, my God. Yeah, a windshield of minus 70? Wow.
Yep. It was, I swear to God, that really happened.
I lived in Minneapolis for a year back in 78. We used to plug our cars in to keep the engine block heat.
That's right. You need to do that.
They're still doing that?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, they used to have a little electrical outlets wherever you parked, Cheryl, and you'd keep your car plugged in to keep the engine block warm.
Wow.
Barry's in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Hello there, Barry.
What's up there, George? I tell you what, you know you're supposed to put me on with my buddy Cornelius.
Yes, I do.
No big deal. Hello there, Corny. But I got a quick question and answer for Cheryl, but let me say quickly, I talked with J.V. Johnson on that Beyond Reality Radio, and tonight is their last broadcast, George.
Well, they're good people.
Yes, I know it, and they're switching their times starting next week from 11 at night to 1 a.m., and he set it on the air so that we could fit in all 4 hours of Coast to Coast.
Well, that's very gracious of him. That's super.
He learned under Art and you, and the show is very similar. I like the show, but it's not Coast to Coast. Nothing is.
It's a different show all by itself, isn't it, Barry?
Yes, exactly. And I'm telling you, you have some special callers, listeners, guests. And, I mean, Cheryl, boy, what a great plus for the program, George. I think you made a great decision.
I'm telling you, I tried to hire Cheryl as a meteorologist back in 1978 when I was in Detroit. Now, she's only 23 years old. So I don't know how in the heck she pulled that off.
She was just three at the time.
She's been in a time warp, but we're not moving forward.
She's been right. She's been hermetically sealed for a while.
Don't we wish. Thank you. That's very kind.
But anyways, Barry, you got a quick question? Go ahead.
I do, but this is hilarious. I'm enjoying this. Thank you. But, Gerald, the Fate magazine, I remember seeing them some in some doctor's offices and so forth, but I never subscribed to it. But is it available on audiobook? I can't read anymore.
Yes, my understanding that it is. I couldn't tell you exactly which books are available, but some are, as I understand it. But if you could get someone to help you find the website, it's
fatemag.com.
Yes. And then Phyllis Galdi, the owner of the publication, is the one taking care of all of that, but I think she would be more than happy to help you out to find what you need.
Robert's in Newville, Alabama. Welcome to the program. First time caller. Hi, Robert.
Good morning or good evening, whichever one it is to you.
Thank you, sir.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
You too.
Now, my comment, and then I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. You were talking about the quickening earlier. Now, if you remember, time seemed to pass slower for our grandparents because they just had the regular, you know, on-the-wall clocks.
Mm-hmm.
But as we're getting more and more technology going, all of our time is relative for each person. What seems like 15 seconds for me is different 15 seconds from you. As we're on our phones and our electrical devices, I think parts of our brains are getting shifted electrically. They're learning new things. How many times have you picked up your phone and played a game or been researching something, and it seems like you're on there 5 or 10 minutes, and you find out you've been on there an hour and 10 minutes,
yep,
you know?
Yep.
And if I'm anywhere near the right league on this, it scares me what's going to happen when we go to this 5G.
Have you looked at 5G yet, Cheryl?
Yes, I have. I've just started looking at it, and there is another controversy there, George, as you know.
Sure is. Might be worthy of a show if you want to go to work on that, too.
Yes. So many people are very excited about it, and others are not very excited.
And they're saying 6G is right around the corner from that.
Well, and China, of course, apparently is interested in that, too. So where do we go? But it apparently is designed in such a way that you don't really have a choice. If we go to 5G, you have to be on it or you're non-functional.
Well, that is so true. Diana's with us now in Manhattan in New York. Hi, Diana.
Hi, George. Love your show. Love Cheryl.
Thank you.
And I love Fate magazine. My uncle had all the copies from the beginning.
Really?
Anyway, I know. He's dead now, and sadly I didn't inherit the copies, but I read a lot of them. Anyway, my great-great-grandfather, Jose Garcia, was the mayor of a small Spanish city in Avila called San Miguel de Cerrezuela, circa 1860-something.
Mm-hmm.
And now, George, I've already told this story on your show, but I'm repeating it, because the editor of Fate said that extraterrestrials have been known throughout time. This is so true.
Right.
Everyone in that little city saw regular light shows of green lights, circular green lights, and everyone accepted it, and no one was afraid, and even the town priest would shrug his shoulders and say it's a holy mystery. They were completely comfortable with it, and interestingly, there's a huge longevity strain in that town. Everyone there lives a very long time. That seems very strange given all the extraterrestrial activity.
That's bizarre.
Oh, I know.
Well, I wonder if there's anything special in the water that may prolong it, their lives.
God knows. But there's a lot of inbreeding, and so the longevity gene has been enhanced generation after generation after generation.
Good question. That's an interesting take.
Some people think that UFOs have the power to give off such positive energy that it could create the anti-aging aspect.
You think aging is hereditary, Cheryl? I do.
I think so. I think so. Of course, I'm no expert, but I'm still alive.
You're still three.
That's right.
I miss Edgar Mitchell, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Edgar...
Apollo 14.
In some ways ahead of his time, or the rest of the world was behind. So maybe a combination of both. But he was such a nice person, to be so accomplished and so wise and so enterprising. And
a believer,
you know, no pun unturned.
And a believer in extraterrestrial visitations. I mean, how many astronauts out there can you say have that kind of credibility? He walked on the moon with Apollo 14. And he believes we're being visited by ETs. That's an amazing story.
Absolutely. And he also performed an ESP experiment on board.
He sure did. He sure did. That's how he started his Noetic Sciences Institute.
Yes. And it was a private experiment that he did with friends. And it was leaked without his permission. And he wasn't real happy about that. But still... It did serve a purpose, and he really embraced the entire story eventually, and it was just really very interesting. There weren't many people who would take a stand in that day, whether they were astronauts or not, but someone especially in his position of power and of accomplishment to take such a controversial stand, and when criticized so much by so many, he didn't waver.
No,
never wavered.
Not at all. He never backed down. He stood his ground. I mean, he had told me he never saw any ETs, but that he was told by people within government that this was happening, and he said he believed them.
Absolutely. That's the same thing he told me as well, and I believe that he was so convinced. I said, well, how do you know, or how could you be so sure if it's just someone who told you this? And he said, because of the quality of the person.
That's right.
The people with whom he had these conversations, there was no doubt in his mind.
The credibility was there. Cheryl, we're going to come back in just a moment and take final phone calls with you. Conversations with Cheryl Jones right here on Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie back with you along with Cheryl Jones and your final phone calls here. Conversations with Cheryl. Cheryl, your next report will be toward the end of January.
Yes.
As the months just keep rolling by.
They do. That is a work in progress. I'm pretty sure I know who it's going to be, but I won't say until it's totally confirmed.
Here's what's so strange. By the time we get into March, which is only a couple months away, we're in the spring.
Oh, we absolutely are. George, I just might want to pass along something right now to you. I just got a message from a friend in Thailand who's listening to us.
Okay.
And he says he absolutely loves the show, and he's always been a fan of yours. But I just thought I'd just throw that in.
We're all over the planet.
All over. We're all the way in Thailand tonight.
Everywhere. Let's go to the phones now. Joe in Long Island, New York. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Cheryl?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to ask you about two questions, basically. My first would be on angels, the point of contact. Now, sure, I would like an angel to help me out with lots of things, but I have, say, one name where I feel but would say meditating kind of open some space to communicate with angels? That would be my first question as a point of contact. And also on the weather, with your expertise. Now, George was saying in St. Louis it's been like 67, 68 degrees the last couple of days. Did they predict that like 5 days ago, or did this come out? In other words, how accurate are the predictions 5 days out?
Well, I will tell you, Joe, it was predicted. I mean, the local paper, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, has a week long of forecasts, and they had it all forecast. They were right on. But I guess Joe's question is how do they do that, Cheryl? How do they predict 5 days ahead or 7 days ahead?
Well, it's all about the patterns. You know, we basically have the warm air masses and the cold air masses, and they keep moving around with the jet streams and the movement in the upper atmosphere. There are all kinds of monitoring satellites going on up there that continuously report on everything that's happening. So all of that goes into the computers, and goodness, you know, we have so many computers now that basically do everything. So that is all of that information that's gathered by the monitors and the sensors, the satellites, is put into the computer, and it goes, it basically figures out what is the most likely thing to happen based on history,
mm-hmm.
and based on the conditions and circumstances that the mass of air is moving into. So that's a very simplistic way of describing it, but basically that's how our forecasts are developed in a simple sense.
All right, let's go back to Joe for his angel question again. Joe, go ahead, Joe, with that question.
Yeah, you know, in other words, they show up, yes, that does happen, as we hear in the stories, but can you bring them around to hang out a little bit longer, or more mundane things where they'll help you pick a book in a bookstore, for example?
I'm not sure angels will help you pick a book in a bookstore, Cheryl, but they hang around as long as they want.
I suppose if the spirit moved an angel to do so, the angel would. I don't know that there's any limits on what they can do, but I don't know that we could call on them specifically to do that. George would probably be the expert on that, though.
Have you had, Cheryl, an angelic experience in your life?
I've had quite a few things that have happened that defy logic, and they've all been good. I've had so many close calls with things that I probably shouldn't have survived, and I did.
Wow.
And so I think there's a lot to that, and yes, I would say yes.
I think when I was about 8 years old, we had an angel in the form of a Fitchburg, Massachusetts fire official who was my grandparents at that time owned a furniture store, and above it they owned a series of apartments. And we were in their big apartment, which had like 8 rooms. And a fire had started in the basement of the furniture store deliberately. Somebody tried to set it on fire in the wee hours and broke into the store. It was a mess. But we, every summer, would go to Massachusetts, where my mother was born. And I remember about 4 o'clock in the morning, a masked, whatever it looked like to me at the time, looked like a creature, but a masked person with goggles on and a helmet was waking us all up individually to get us out of there. And it was a fire department personnel because the furniture store was smoky, and they got us out. They saved our lives. That's my angel.
Wow. Angels come in all different shapes and forms.
They sure do. Mary is with us in Burlington County, New Jersey. Welcome to the program. Hi, Mary.
Hello, George. Hello, Cheryl.
Hello, Mary.
Everybody knows the story about Fatima. I don't know if I'm going to get it straight, but they always thought there was like metal in the sky. So I'm thinking that's their heavenly chauffeur limousine. So there's Mary, there's Joseph, and there's baby Jesus. And unless everybody's fibbing, they said the water came down, it rained, everybody was soaking wet, And then all of a sudden they thought the sun was falling out.
Mm-hmm.
The sky's coming. Okay, got your Revelation chapter 10. The angel wrapped in a cloud with a rainbow on his head, has a face like the sun, voice like a lion, carries a little book, his legs are a pillar of fire, he has feet of brass. And I remember him from childhood. He was sent in as a special angel to take the excess water off the earth after Noah's flood because it had nowhere to go. So I'm thinking, yeah, he carries water. He's an angel wrapped in a cloud. He could have soaked and wet that ground, and then his head would come down. It's like the sun shining. And then they could all go back up in the craft, their chauffeur limousine, and he could have covered them, and away they went.
Off they went. We've done many stories on Fatima, Cheryl, and there were many witnesses who claimed the sun actually came down. I think it was a UFO they were looking at, a very glowing UFO that looked like the sun.
Wow. There's so many different things that could be UFOs, not just the traditional that most people think of initially. Some people think there's a blend of some UFO sightings and angels and so many different things. It's really incredible.
Next up, we've got Carl in the Bronx in New York. Hi, Carl. Good morning to you.
Hi, George. I was on the other night. I want to wish you again a happy holiday season.
Thank you, sir.
Carol. And I'm a subscriber to Faith Magazine, and I have some of Rosemary Ellen Guiley's books that she signed for me. We knew her personally.
Oh, great lady. Great. I miss her a lot.
Up in Pine Bush, New York, The Road to Strange, UFOs, Aliens, and High Strangeness.
Yep.
I have her... that book is signed, and a more recent book was The Slips in Time and Space by Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Also, I have her sign my books. And some of the articles in the Faith magazine that catch my attention was issue number 728, My Boyfriend Shapeshifted. I had a woman who was a school teacher in Brooklyn who actually witnessed two people on a subway train shapeshift.
Ooh.
And I gave her a copy of that article in that magazine, in the Faith magazine, My Boyfriend Shapeshifted. Another article, which is Mysterious Death of Rock Star Jim Morrison. That was July, August of 2008. And then Jimmy Dean, his car was haunted. That was the October issue of 2007. And then there's the Black Eyed Children. You talk about the Men in Black, okay? Issue number 730, the Black Eyed Children, where these children appear at people's homes, and their eyes are completely dilated in black. I want to also mention that in A Wonderful Life, I heard that from another talk show program, they want to make a new remake of The Wonderful Life, and that the Jimmy Dean article in the October 2007, that his car was haunted.
That is true. They used parts from that car after the crash, and apparently those people, right, whoever got the parts, got haunted too.
Wow.
Correct. And they say that there is also a remake, another movie coming up with Jimmy Dean. His anniversary is coming up. So, another question I had was, did Frank Capri in A Wonderful Life, did he have a Clarence? Okay, we always talk about the movie, but Frank Capri's name didn't come up in the discussions on the 26th.
Well, even though Frank wrote the movie to It's a Wonderful Life, he got it from a book that was not called that. It was called something else, but it had that story in it. So I don't think he had his own angel Clarence. But he picked everything out of the book that they wrote the movie of. I'm not sure a recreation of that movie, Cheryl, would have that same impact as the old black and white one.
It would really be hard. And the I just recently spoke with Zuzu, Carolyn Grimes, whom I've known from Kansas City and from days when I lived
there. She was the little girl, right?
Yeah, she was the little girl that had that line when the bell rang.
And the angel gets its wings.
Yeah, the teacher says, when the angel, you know. So they just had an annual celebration in New York in Seneca Falls, which is a town which is similar to what was in the movie or what was portrayed in the movie. There's a museum there, and it's the only museum in the world that features a black and white movie, and it's A Wonderful Life. And so they do that annually, and they all gather up there, and they just have a month-long celebration in that town.
That's a classic. That's mm-hmm. a classic. I remember the scene where Jimmy Stewart reaches into his pocket and pulls out Zuzu's petals, rose petals.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And she actually wrote a children's book based on that.
Well, you know, somebody called me yesterday during the program wanting to know if there were anybody still alive from that movie. And I said, maybe the child, but everybody else is probably dead.
Yes, I don't know for sure if she's the only one, but she's definitely alive and well and going strong.
How old is she now? What do you think?
Oh, somewhere in the 70s.
Well, let's see. The movie was 1946, and so that's 71 years ago. And she must have been at least 10 in the movie, right?
I'm thinking she's under 80. I'm thinking she's 78 for some reason. I don't know if I've read that or what, but recently I was doing some...
Well, she's close to 80 no matter what, right?
Yeah, but I'm telling you, she's still going. She's still spry. you know, it's just a number.
Let's go to Greg in Nova Scotia out there in Canada. Hey, Gregory, go ahead.
Hey there. I had a different question. Can I ask something else?
Yeah, of course.
Cheryl, I had an experience about 43 years ago where I met Dan Aykroyd, and he brought a ufologist that I think recently died. He brought him to a Boy Scout meeting, and he warmed us up with this ufologist talking about stuff. And then we proceeded to create the cone heads. And I'm just wondering, do the cone heads, are there any theories that there are actual cone head aliens?
Interesting. And might that person have been Stanton Friedman, the ufologist?
Because he died recently.
He just died. Died in March.
Or Roger Lehr.
Could have been Roger Lehr as well. But I think Aykroyd might have been, because Danny is a Canadian, so is Stanton Friedman.
Hmm.
It made a lot of sense. But what about cone head aliens? We get that?
I think that's something we should look for. You know who's worked with Dan Aykroyd a lot is David Sirita, whom you've had on the show from time to time.
Yes. Yeah, Danny listens to the program a lot. It's he's a great actor and just a neat person.
Mm-hmm.
Cheryl, we're coming to an end. We've only got about a minute left. Words of wisdom for anybody?
Oh, my goodness. Words of wisdom? I think I need some.
Yeah.
I might invite someone to call and give me a few words of wisdom. Well, I think that this is a great start to another new year, and I think, George, we're lucky in some ways to live in such a time when it's so exciting and things, even though it's going so fast, the evolution of technical and everything around us is like we're in a fast-forward time machine, but In a lot of ways, we're so blessed because there's so many positive things going on. And I think we can look forward to a lot of great things in the coming year, let's hope.
Sure can. Okay, well, we'll talk to you the end of January, Cheryl, with another series of reports, okay?
Yes, and we'll work with Fate Magazine.
Cheryl Jones, yeah, work on that Fate Magazine. I'd like for them to give us a little segment maybe once a month. Somebody could voice, you could do it, somebody could do it, and that would be a nice little feature right here, and it would give them great exposure for their magazine, which is probably something they probably could enjoy. Well, Ian Punnett sitting in for me tomorrow. I'm going to whittle off one vacation day, but I'll be back on Monday. We've got a full group of great programs for you, so stick with us, folks. And thanks for being part of our New Year's, our Christmas Eve and Christmas Day programs. We're going to do it all again this coming week on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day as well. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Miranda Marino, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lauder-Sur, Tim Banal, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.